from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I wasn't going to talk about it, Lonzo, but I am going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about it because I am genuinely and legitimately freaked out a little bit. Like, not like panic sets across the nation freaked out, but like mildly very confused right now.
I don't know. This is might be a sign of early something.
Why I'm freaked out. Okay. And this is not even like sarcastic, haha, funny. So this morning, to start the week, and it is, I am one of these weirdos that genuinely believes that it is important to start your Monday with a tone that you would like the rest of your week to follow, right? So I try on Mondays, when I get up and get going, I try on Mondays to like be very pleasant on Monday morning and be punctual. It's probably the only time in my life I do it. Like, I make an effort to be punctual, right? I got a time I want to be. Here's the nice thing. I don't have a time I have to be here on Monday mornings because nobody else is here with the exception of the other people who work mornings. So I don't really have a time I have to be here, but I got a time I like to be here. I like to be here on Mondays somewhere between 4:30 and 4:45. And that gives me an extra 10 minutes to, like, you know, put my drinks in the fridge and move stuff around and whatever else I got to do. So I like to be here, like, no later than 9:45 on Mondays. And so this morning, I get up with my alarm at my normal time. No worries. I get going. When I wake up, I usually spend, because the dog and the cat both get up when I get up, so I spend a couple of minutes with the dog and the cat, take a shower, get dressed in the bro cave. I usually pop Sports Center onto the TV while I'm getting ready. And then when I get done with the shower, I'll get dressed, put on the glasses and the hat, got to pick them out to match the outfit for the day, walk out to the living room, spend a couple of minutes out there, like collecting whatever odds and ends I got to bring to the office or whatever. So this morning I get up and I'm doing all that. I'm just going through the motions. Just like my normal Monday morning. On schedule to be here at 4:45. Except for my phone pops off with a text from Lonzo. And I assume when I get that text from Lonzo, I assume that he's texting me at like 4:30 to tell me, hey, I'm not feeling great, Brandon's in, or T2's going to come produce, I'm out, or, you know, or telling me, hey, FYI, I'm going to be a few minutes late, I got a flat tire, or the compound came under attack from the Russians and I'm on the defense right now. Whatever. Just like minor, like random and frequent details of his life.
The last one was the one that's most likely, for sure.
So I'm like, all right.
Sticking Ruskies.
Like, I don't know why Lonzo's texting me at like 4:30 in the morning, but like, that's all right. It's all good. Let me get all my stuff together. Let me get to the car. Let me get on the road. And, you know, once I plug my phone into my car, my phone will go, you have one new text message from Lonzo. Would you like to hear it? Yes, please, car. Lonzo says, under attack from communist. We'll be there at 5:40. Would you like to respond? And I would just respond, thumbs up emoji, car. Normal stuff. Except for I sit in my car and I look at my text at 5:37 a.m. as I'm coming down the street. Don't text and drive. And it says, you up? And I'm like, yeah, Lonzo, like, obviously I'm up. You know, I'm like 5 minutes late, but I'm usually like almost to the studio. You know, I'm up. So I like start typing a response. Yeah, what's up? Thinking he's going to be like, you know, I'm on the pooper this morning, not going to make it or whatever. And then I'm like, what time is it? Am I off the rocker? And I look, and sure as hell, it was 5:37 a.m. I got up with my, because there have been mornings, great one, and I'll tell you how the game works in my house. I have my phone. I have my, like, my regular wake-up alarm. Then I have an Alexa that has my backup alarm. That's the alarm that if it goes off, it's waiting Courtney up, and Courtney's going to reach over, and she's going to slap me. So I get up. I got to get up now, right? And then I have a third alarm that's on the Alexa out in the kitchen, and it's very loud, and she can't hear you over herself from the kitchen. So if that one goes off, now I'm late for work. And so I got to get up and I got to go out to the kitchen to turn that off. I got up. I turned off my regular phone alarm. I never heard the bedroom alarm because if I wake up before that, I tell her, hey, don't do the alarm today.
You, I won't.
And then I walk out to the kitchen and I go, hey, Alexa, no alarm this morning. And she'll go, you got it, sexy. And then I just go about my day. I got up. I did both of those things. Normal morning. I twilight zoned an hour of my morning this morning. Genuinely, I like had my own personal daylight savings time this morning. There is, I'm not kidding. I wish this was a joke. There is an hour of my life that is missing from this morning. There's an hour of my life that has been David Copperfielded out of existence, and I don't know where it went.
Well, you should say thank you, or someone should say thank you to you, whoever got that hour. Someone got it.
Someone's going to be massively productive today because they just stole it. I don't know what happened. When I read the text from Lonzo that said you up, which came in at what to me was 4:37, which is, you know, I was, like I said, I was about 5 minutes behind where I usually like to be on a Monday. Usually at the point that I'm rolling down the driveway, it's between 4:20 and 4:30. It was 4:37, so I was 7 minutes behind my regular schedule. But, like, it's not egregious. I'm still going to be in the office by, like, 5:40, or like 4:45, 4:50 maybe. On that schedule, 4:52. And I will also say I did most of my show prep. In fact, I did all my show prep last night. I did my show prep last night. It just kind of was what it was. You up? Yeah, why? Of course I'm up. What do you mean am I up? It's Monday. Of course I'm up. I got to work. And he didn't have to send a text and sex, a second text. Yeah, yeah. I know. I know.
I don't send those, by
the
way.
Yeah, I know.
And if I did, it would not be to Rob.
Miss Lisa would appreciate it. Come on, Zoe, be romantic.
She's asleep right now.
Let's keep the fire alive. I said, yeah, I swear to everything. I thought it was 4:37. I have no idea where my hour went. Be there just before showtime. I was wondering why you were texting me, and then I looked at the clock. I twilight zoned an hour of my morning. I'm hauling ass. And I am dead serious, kind of freaked out a little bit. Because it's not, like, if I would have snoozed the alarm and went back to sleep for another hour, the other two alarms would have woken me up. And they're set for every day. I don't ever have to tell her not to set. I just have to go, don't play the alarm this morning. And she'll go, okay, disregarding alarm. Not this morning.
I'm trying to be nice this week because I'm only here 3 days. It's going to be very difficult not playing the alarm thing. But, you know, I'm just letting you know.
I'm saying alarm.
People out on the road this morning, there was a lot of weaving and sleeping going on, including big semi trucks, where you have to make that decision, okay, which side should I try to speed past so I don't die? So I think there are a lot of people in your situation this morning. At least there were on 385 on my way in.
I don't know, man. Like it was just weird. I was on my regular, like casually went in.
That's the kind of thing that happens like on a Sunday and you're like,
for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you realize, oh crap, it's Sunday. I don't need to go to work.
Like ordinarily when something like this happens, it's like, there's something I really want to watch on TV tonight. Right. Oh, there's a Braves Phillies at 7 p.m. And I'm sitting there making dinner and, like, you know, frying up my bologna sandwich or whatever. And then Courtney will be like, I thought you wanted to watch the baseball game. I will. It's at 7. She's like, you know it's 7:15, right? What? Huh? No, it's not. It's 6:15, right?
So this is not your first time losing time.
No, but I can, like, in years gone, like, in all the times it's happened before, I can usually attribute it to something. Like, oh, yeah, I was, you know, I got involved in writing this project or recording that this or reading this or whatever, right? Like, I can attribute it to something because you know how sometimes you get into that flow state and you're doing something and you're not really paying it, but you can account for it, right? You jump into a video game and you think it's 6 o'clock and Miss Lisa knocks on the door and goes, it's 7 o'clock. And you're like, where did that hour go? Oh, I was fighting, you know, whatever demon in the pits of hell. That's where that hour went. No, this morning, it just poof, gone. Like Heather would say, poof, just gone. And I have no knowledge of how it happened. None. Mondays are important to me. They are important to set the tone of the week. They are important to get up again. And it's, for the record, the only day of the week that you get like, motivational Rob Brown. Wake up and make Monday set the tone for the rest of your week. That's how you be a productive American. That's not me. My attitude on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is like, get up, take your time getting ready, right? Like, don't rush through it. Enjoy your morning. You know, you only get so many mornings in this world. Enjoy it for what it's worth. Take in like that, like when I'm usually getting ready for work, like the birds are just coming alive, you know, gentle breeze through the Carolina Hills.
Birds are not real. They don't come alive. They get turned on.
Whatever. The drones are making their morning cycle. Like ordinarily when I get going in the morning, I sorry to be like, you know, lame or whatever. But I appreciate the morning for what it is. For the record, as a not morning person, okay? I slept till like 11:45 yesterday morning. And it was immaculate.
Dude.
Yeah, I don't care.
I wish I could do that.
Don't care.
I was up at 6:30. Which is still sleeping in.
I was up at like 5:45 to let the dog out. But then I went back to bed till like 11:30. It was amazing. I caught up on all the sleep that I needed. Spectacular. Got up this morning, ready to just enjoy my morning, take my time. I was going to consider maybe popping into the gas station and get myself a little protein bar for the AM. Thought about it all. Nope. You up? Yeah, why would I not be up? It's 4:40. Oh, God. That is the most apt description of the mental breakdown that I had when I read Lonzo's text that I could possibly give you. I don't know how to explain it better than that. When I had that realization, it was like the Undertaker's bell went off in my head. And I just didn't react. It was wild.
Well, I would have had you call in. We would have started a show and you could have given a firsthand account of the morning whilst outside.
It was bad, man. I don't know what to say. But what I do know to say now is to answer the texter that just texted in.
Thank you, Kirk. What I do know.
How we're going to approach the next 4 hours of our lives. Texter said, is this a sports radio program? Yes, it is, Texter, and I'm glad you're here for it. It's the Rob Brown Show. It's the Fan Upstate. It's Show Enough Is, and we are going to get to a lot of sports because we had a lot go on. The Bray Atlanta.
Hey, Texter, don't make us Mark Ryan you.
Atlanta, what are we doing? And I'm glad to be asking this question.
We're about to see the opposite of panic now.
Yeah.
Because you understand panic.
Yeah.
But you don't know how to do the opposite of that.
I don't. I don't know how to handle / understand what just happened. Atlanta in a 3-game set against the NL leading Philadelphia Phillies didn't just take 2 out of 3 from Philly. They beat them. Game one was a bit of a fluke because it actually was a good game for Atlanta off the bump and on the field. It was just the bats weren't alive, which has been the problem for this Braves team, right? The pitching has been shockingly good. Chris Sale is a monster. Reynaldo Lopez is an all-star. This has been wild. Wild. And then, for whatever reason, on Saturday and Sunday, the bats woke up. And I kind of think maybe it's my fault. I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious, as Michael Scott would say. I watched the game Saturday and Sunday. I watched them both because I'm a masochist. I was like, let me tune in. Let me watch the chaos. Let me make my weekend worse. Let me watch the Braves for both games. Because I'm not going to lie. I had kind of pulled off a little bit. I had kind of pulled back from Atlanta a little bit. I was like, they stink. Let me dedicate some time to other stuff, right? I got to catch up on the wrestling. I'm not going to lie. I haven't watched more than like 5-6 laps of any NASCAR race in the last few weeks. I got them all saved on the DVR, right? Let me go back and watch some NASCAR. Check in on some WNBA over the weekend. Real good. Angel Reese has a dozen double-doubles in a row. You know how ridiculous that is? Caitlin Clark knocked out a triple-double this weekend. Let me check in on the WNBA. Let me see where all this is going. I thought, no worries. I'll catch up. And then, on Saturday, for whatever reason, we're fostering a dog that we're looking for a home for. Real skittish, scared dog, so we can't really, like, leave the house. Kind of got to just sit in one place while she learns to open up or whatever. I'm like, let me just watch some baseball. And the Braves come in on Saturday, and they hit the damn ball. And then they come out on Sunday, and not only do they hit the ball, but Reynaldo Lopez goes 6 innings, 2 hits, no runs. They skunk Philadelphia. The best offense in the National League. The best offense arguably in baseball, and the Braves just skunk them. Now, I know there's no Bryce Harper out there. I know they're missing their big dogs. I know Kyle Schwarber's not out there. They're pure DH. I know their boys aren't out there. But everybody else is. Brandon Marsh is out there. Nick Castellanos is out there. They still got dudes in that lineup. Lopez throws a gem, and he gets the 6-0 shutout win. Chris Sale looks phenomenal. The bullpen for Atlanta, by the way, all of a sudden, looks like it should just be the NL All-Star team. It's unreal. They have like a combined July ERA of 1.7 something right now. It's insane. Where have you been, Atlanta? So we're going to talk some Braves ball later in the show. Got some football. I watched first episode of Hard Knocks last night. I have one thing I really liked and one thing I'd like to complain about.
You're watching the Giants?
Yeah, why not? Why not? They stank last year. Why not find out what a team that stinks looks like behind the scenes after they're done stinking? I'm going to talk about that. Talk some wrestling. I know we got Fight Club on Thursday, but we did have... Alonso's not going to be here. We got Fight Club on Wednesday, but we did have a huge wrestling announcement that came down the pipe before Money in the Bank on Saturday. See? Time is not real. It's a flat circle, and if you're not careful, hours of your life will just delete themselves from existence. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show is back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Happy Monday morning, my dudes and my dudettes. Spectacular to have you here with us on a Monday morning. A lot of stuff we got to get into. So, I started watching Hard Knocks last night. Decided, what the heck? Let's give it a run. I will acknowledge that I kind of bailed out of Hard Knocks for a little while. And I think it's because, and we've talked about this, it kind of lost its grittiness, right? Like, the first few years of Hard Knocks, and Mike, it has been on the air so much longer than I thought it had.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know.
Like 2001 or something crazy.
No, I thought it was earlier than that.
Either way, it's been on the air a very long time. And I very much remember watching it many moons ago. And it was very gritty, right? Like, there was no holding back. It was, they were showing guys getting cut, showing guys getting pink slipped, showing guys getting hurt. I mean, it was the gritty side of football. And granted, I haven't watched it in depth. I've seen the highlights and whatever. But I haven't really watched it super in depth in 5-6 years. A lot of it because it kind of got away from, to me,
the ugly sides of it. August 1st, 2001. Way to go.
Big smart boy.
But you do know that was 23 years ago, right?
Painfully so. In fairness, I was a sophomore in high school. So, ouch. That hurt.
Look at you. I was already a struggling adult.
And now I am here just losing hours of my life at a time. Now literally. So when it kind of started shifting away, because I do appreciate Cody Decker and I had this conversation, and I'm gonna bring it up later because I'm kind of curious about how y'all feel about it. Deck and I had this conversation.
It's not the only conversation you had.
You saw that too, huh? Sweet.
I sent it to you.
Man, no. I'm talking about a different one.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about a much more painful conversation that I will tell you about off the air.
You were full of those.
Oh, it was a wild Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you ready for one more? I'll give you one more. We were doing Parlay v. Parlay Challenge. Deck and I knocked our first two legs out in four innings. We needed a Juan Soto home run. He was batting, a Juan Soto RBI. He was batting second. He got an extra at bat. He got five at bats in this game, Lonzo. The guy ahead of him, rookie named Ben Rice. All we needed was for Ben Rice to just get on base, right? Just get on base, let Juan Soto knock you in. This cat, in three of his five at bats, hit a multi-run home run that cleared the bases ahead of the guy we had to have an RBI for. And the other two at-bats, he was the third out of the inning, so Juan Soto came up first in the next inning with nobody on the bases. I quit the show with 2.5 minutes left. I got up and walked out of there. I was like, Cody Decker's got this, and I just left. I've never been so upset in my life. Anyway, gamblers and y'all were like, oh, I get it. That makes sense. So, sat down, watched Hard Knocks, and I will say there were some interesting parts. For instance, the Brian Burns trade is, at least the first part is working, okay? They were having a conversation. Brian Schein, the GM for the Giants, meets up on the field with Dave Canales after Canales has been named the head coach of the Panthers. And he's sitting there talking to Canales on the field. And Canales says, like, real quiet, almost like a whisper. Like, he's trying not to let it be overheard. Like, he either knows Schein is mic'd or he doesn't, but he's trying to keep everybody else around the conversation from hearing it. He goes, you want to give us two firsts for Burns? And Schein goes, no. I mean, I do, but I'm not going to. And he goes, Canales goes, what about a first and something else? Schein goes, you're headed in the right direction. It was very weird because this trade to me, and I know that this is not the only conversation that got had, right? We know there was obviously a lot more going on. But it felt very weird that the beginning of that trade, because Brian Burns did end up in New York. It felt very weird to me that the beginning of that trade was Canales whispering to the GM on a field, you want to send us two firsts for Brian Burns? And the Giants immediately going, no. No, I don't. No, we don't. We know you're not in a position that you can demand that. So, no, we do not want to give you two firsts for Brian Burns. And here we are. Is that what happened? There was something I don't know what emotion to assign to it, which is bad because that's quite literally my job, is to verbalize feelings on takes. I don't even know, honestly, I don't even know what my take is, TBH. I don't know what my take is. I just know that if you're watching a struggling franchise, even if you know Brian Burns was only here for a little while longer, even if you know that the year before that, the LA Rams offered to send, three players or something ridiculous? Like, the Rams were willing to sell the farm for Brian Burns, and Carolina said no. And in fairness, I'm not mad at them for having said no at the time, because the expectations for last year were very high with Frank coming in. We're very high with Bryce Young. I don't know why I went Tua Tagovailoa. With Bryce Young taking over as the starting quarterback. Like, the expectations were genuinely pretty high for last year. So keeping Brian Burns on for one more year was not a mistake. There's a lot of armchair quarterbacks who look back now and they go, oh, y'all were so stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. That's a deep wrestling reference if you get it. For not sending Brian Burns to LA for like multiple first and a couple of starters. That was so dumb. But I think a lot of people, and a lot of radio dudes do this, I think a lot of people like to make self-aggrandizing statements about how smart they were, because they totally would have made that deal a year and a half ago. They totally would have pulled the trigger. But they never really talk about the context of why they did not. And the context of why Carolina did not was they got their new coach. They got all their new guys. They got their new quarterback. Like, there genuinely was. And don't none of y'all have the audacity to tell me right now that you weren't at the least cautiously optimistic going into last year. Don't tell me you weren't cautiously optimistic. I'm not saying you were jazzed up. I'm not saying you were out there getting Carolina Panthers Super Bowl champion tattoos. But don't tell me you weren't cautiously optimistic. We all were. So I'm not mad that they didn't take that trade. I'm just very interested. I'm trying to put a finger on. Let me put it this way. I'm watching this show, Great One. And they're following around Shine, the GM for the Giants. And they like do a thing in his car where he talks about how when he was a scout back in the day, because he had watched 5 NFL games, so he became a scout.
That's all it takes.
And he's like, yeah, when I got the job, like, you know, all I could afford, scout doesn't pay much, so all I could afford was a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And then, you know, it became a tradition. Whenever I'm driving somewhere for football stuff, I eat a PB&J. When I got the job as the GM of the Giants on my first day into the work, my wife made me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and that's what I ate on the road into my first day as the general manager. And I'm like, all right, relatable. It's fun, I guess, right? Like, cute. That's what I tuned in for. What I tuned in to Hard Knocks for was the PB&J habits of a GM. I was curious.
So a GM is trying to make himself human, and you have a problem with that.
It's not what I tune into the NFL Hard Knocks show for. It's just not, all right? It's not. I don't care. I'm never going to watch a Giants game next year and be like, hey, that's our GM. You know, he eats 2 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches a day. How cool is that?
So do I. So we're like the same.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I'm now, and I've watched 10 NFL games, which means I'm qualified to be a GM. I'm ready. Pick me up, Carolina. Me and Dan Morgan, we'll be like co-GMs. We got this. I tune in for, and listen, I know that I say this as somebody who, regularly derails his own show with, here's what's going on in my life. Like when I lose an hour of time in the morning. But to follow this cat and then to see him on a training room field with Dave Canales, to see him standing there and hear Canales just out of the blue. They're just talking. They're like, how you been, man? Congrats on the job. No, congrats on your new job. Congrats on this. Congrats on that. You're doing good. You're doing great. Hey, you want to give us 2 firsts for Brian Burns? And the guy, without hesitation, goes, no, I do not. I don't. How about a first and something else? Hey, you're heading in the right direction. Like, it just felt to me, and let me be clear, I am making a mountain out of a molehill right now. I absolutely am. Because there's 1,000 other conversations that took place. But it felt off to me that the head coach put the best defensive player on the team, one of the best defensive players in the NFC, put him on the block by just throwing out, want to give us 2 first? Then immediately got shut down with a no, and that's still where that guy ended up going. It didn't sit right with me for some reason. Can't really explain it. It just didn't sit right with me. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. I'm getting to it. Hey, I want to talk more about that Hard Knocks thing, and I will later on in the show, but I want to get here because yesterday, my afternoon co-part and I, Cole Bryson, had a disagreement over NASCAR. I was watching the Chicago race yesterday. Yesterday was a good day to be Rob Brown. I didn't really do anything. We got up late, watched some baseball in the daytime, Braves Phillies. Watched some NASCAR in the afternoon, live from Chicago, Illinois. And then last night, watched a little more baseball and watched Money in the Bank. Enjoyable Sunday. Sunday fun day. I got on Twitter, X, last night, and I saw where my afternoon co-part, C-Money Cole Bryson, sent out a tweet discussing the NASCAR street race that took place out in Chicago. He said, and I'm trying to find the exact tweet so I can quote it. Here it is. He put up a short GIF, and it is GIF, not GIF. That will never change. He put up a short GIF of the boys coming through one of the S-turns at Chicago, which is a road course. I set that road course up for you on Friday if you missed it. Effectively, it's two square courses that intersect with an S-turn in the middle. They got a little curvy part over here. Some of the turns are 90 degrees. Some of them are a little more gradual. It's got a number of different turns, a number of different spots. It's got some lefts and some rights. And Cole said, this just doesn't do it for me. Y'all can have these road courses. Thumbs down emoji. And he got a little bit of reaction from it on his Twitter handle. You can follow him at TheColeBryson. What a boring name. Anyway, follow me at The Rob Brown Show.
So there's other Cole Brysons out there?
I mean, there's certainly got to be at least one, right?
He had to throw a V in
just
there?
To make sure you know which one you're following.
All right. Because
if you pop on Twitter and you find at a Cole Bryson, that's not him. That's not him. So, JD said, you must not have seen this race yesterday. This is good to get new eyes on the sport. And then JD said to Cole, loser take. Evan said, road courses are cool. Street courses suck. And at Horvath Design said, you must be watching on TV and not at the track. This atmosphere is electric. Which is not what I really wanted him to say. I wanted him to say this atmosphere is I got that one in a minute. He also got a response from Coach Rob Brown.
You played it Friday, dude.
I did not.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't. No, I did not. I don't think I did. I'm not going to lie. I'm questioning everything
you
about my life
right
now.
You lost an hour today. You don't remember Friday.
I am questioning everything in my life. I'm just sitting here like, and I don't know what to make of it. He also got a reply from one Coach Rob Brown, knower of ball. Trust said, you're lost, dude. I will take one road race before I take 10 boring-ass 1.5-mile cookie cutters. To which Cole responded, yep, nothing like getting up to 65 miles an hour in the heart of NASCAR country, downtown Chicago. And I figured it out. I think I figured it out. I don't think Cole is upset that this was a street race or a road course or whatever you want to call it. I don't think Cole was upset that this race was, you know, no, they're not getting the cars up to a buck 95. I am pro street race. I am pro road course. Why? Because I think a NASCAR champion should be obligated to prove that they are a driver with versatility, should be able to prove that they are a driver that can drive in multiple conditions, multiple types of tracks, multiple styles of racing. You should have to be a good super speedway racer. You should have to be a good short track racer. You should have to be a good road racer. You should have to be a good mile and a halfer. You should have to be good at everything. You can't be like really, really good at this one thing and then really crappy at everything else and be the champ, right? Now, you could be like really good at three things, real bad at one thing, and still be the champ, but you've proven you're the best overall. It's important to me. But I don't think that's Cole's issue. And I could be wrong here, and I look very much forward to listening to Wire with Cole Bryson and Diesel, C-Money and D-Train this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. in case Cole decides to respond to this. And if he likes not to, that's fine. I think Cole is just mad that there aren't NASCAR races happening in the South. I honestly, because there was another spot later on in the race. Now, it was kind of dumb. No, not that kind of dumb. It was very dumb. There were some, activists. There were activists who protested at the race. They climbed inside of the track and then stayed in there for 40 minutes, which part of me was like, run the race anyway. Let them protest. Just run the race anyway. Let them dodge the cars with their fun little signs. Except for, and this was pretty spectacular, they did it while the race was on rain delay. So, like, you didn't do anything, right? But then Cole tweeted out a video of that, and he said, bet they don't have this problem at North Wilkesboro or Darlington, but hey, let's keep going to big cities. And that's the moment I'm like, oh, Cole doesn't dislike the road course. He just dislikes that they're doing it in not small southern racetracks, which I get. That's the roots of NASCAR.
See, I don't think that's what it is. I think NASCAR fans don't like that kind of thing.
What kind of thing? One protest that has happened when they've been in Vegas and Phoenix.
I'm not talking about the protests. I'm talking about the road race thing.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. The protest thing is going to keep happening, and if they walked on the track, that would, I mean, they're not very smart anyway, but that would not be good. It's like,
oh, it's a real dumb
thing. We see all the videos where they try to block traffic.
Yeah, it doesn't go well.
There's always some guy who's like, nope, and just goes right through the middle of it.
Yep. And while I will tell you that as a soft-hearted liberob, like, there are spots where I'm like, I agree with your message, not your actions.
Except there's quite a bit of the time where you have no idea what they're actually doing.
Correct. So, the dudes running out during the golf match the other day, I'm like, y'all are jackasses, dude. Like, even Chuck Barkley knows that you guys. I'm like, yeah, that was it. Don't get me wrong. Get the message. Kind of agree with the message. Not the right way to get people to be on board with you. Am I right, dudes?
I'm guessing they can't really do that in a true NASCAR crowd because things would get their asses beat.
Yeah,
things would get ugly.
Yeah, they get their asses beat. But
who's going to beat you up at a golfing event?
Oh, you'd be shocked. I mean, you'd be shocked. Golf's morphing in. It's morphing. I'm watching it slowly morph back into a younger sport again. There's a little underground movement going on, and I have to thank the influencers for that. But the NASCAR thing, like, I want to start with the street race concept because I do know a lot of people are against the street race. You shouldn't be against the street race. You shouldn't. Why? NASCAR. Where Lonzo knows this. Let's do a little pop quiz here. Lonzo, where does NASCAR draw its roots back to?
Shiners.
Moonshiners. After shoop up them cars, run that shine away from Johnny Law. You understand?
Daggum revenuers.
Got to get them up out of Hazard County again.
I don't know what that last thing was. That was interesting.
The point here, ultimately, would be if you're running from the 5-0, if you're running from the smoke, if you're running from the fudge, if you're running from Johnny Law, you got a trunk full of shine. Do you just drive in a circle a bunch? No. You get on the streets and you drive until the fuzz can't keep up with your hot rod no more. Like, if we're tracking the origin of NASCAR back to running shine, they ran shine on the streets or through the woods, but whatever, you get it, right? Like, I think there is room for street racing. I am not sitting here asking that every race be a street race. In fact, if you follow the show for any length of time, you know it's the exact opposite. I am asking NASCAR to be even more varied in the racetracks. Give me a few more street. Give me, like, we have four super speed races. Two at Daytona, two at Talladega. Give me two more. Make them six.
Here's what it is. Cole is well known to being a big fan of the Fast and Furious franchise. Seen them all many, many times. Yeah. And so when he sees a street race, he wants to see a real street race.
That's why he drives Mazda Miata that he souped up. It's pretty dope.
Yeah.
Pretty dope. Lime green. Neon pink underneath it and the lights. Pretty sweet. No, I honestly...
The sound system is booming, though.
I think that there are... I could be wrong, and I invite him to respond to it, whether it's on Wire to Wire, on Twitter, whatever. I'm curious. Does he have an issue with the racetrack, or does he have an issue with the fact that NASCAR is in a northern city that's not a big NASCAR city? Because I'll tell you, from what I understand, the crowd was real good. And remember, the point of this stuff is to spread the good word of NASCAR. That's the point. It is to spread the good word of NASCAR. It is to get people excited about a sport that doesn't really have a gigantic fan base outside of the footprint that it grew up in, the southeastern region of the United States. I want more fans. I want more people invested. I want more people watching, because more watching equals better ratings. Better ratings equals more money. More money means more accessibility. It means more inclusion in the sport. It means a better sport.
I'd be more interested if it was Paul Walker and Vin Diesel.
If it's Paul Walker, we need to figure out what's going on.
I know he did.
He very did.
But still,
he's been dead for a very minute.
He manages to appear in just about every movie, though. So, I mean, because...
Are they still CGing? I haven't seen the last three.
They at least mentioned
that. Have they had another one since he died? Yeah. I know they had the one where, like, him and Dom did the, like, he got off the exit on the interstate scene.
I think they've had, like, three or four.
Has he been in all of them?
If he isn't in it, they mention him.
I mean, mentioning, I get.
Yeah.
But like CGIing him in feels a little
wife,
weird.
His wife is still in it. So, and yet.
Who's his wife?
He's married to Dom's sister in the series.
Really? No. Yeah. Oh, you mean his character's
not
wife?
Not as, I mean, yeah.
I thought you meant Paul Walker's wife.
No. We're talking about Brian.
I thought you meant she was like, hey, can you do me a favor? Can you keep computer graphing my dead husband into my movies, please?
No, that would be weird. But
I agree. You know, like, that's why it jumped out at me there. All right. So anyway, I read that thought from Cole, and
so you haven't seen the ones with John Cena in it?
No, I've not.
No, it's pretty good.
I haven't. I honestly haven't even seen the one with
Momoa in it, which was the last one.
Didn't see that.
Yeah,
didn't see that. I don't think I'm trying to think of what the last Fast and the Furious I saw was. I'll have to go back. I don't even remember, to be honest with you. I think I bailed out around. I don't even know.
So when they tan Cena just a little bit to make him Dom's brother?
Stop it.
He's his brother. He's his half-brother.
Yeah, but they like...
If I recall, he's a little bit more tan than what he normally is, yes.
I think I checked out at Fast Five. And it wasn't really a checkout so much as just like I just never came back to
it. Dude, that was like five or six movies ago.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's been a minute. Listen, here's my thing. I think it is more about, and I get it, like the feeling if you are a NASCAR fan that's the South's sport, right? Like everybody above the Mason-Dixon in the North, you get hockey and we get NASCAR, right? Like that's your thing. We got our thing. Y'all skate on ice. We drive cars fast in circles. That's our thing. And I feel like there are a lot of people, and I'm using Cole as a representation of them, but I feel that there's a lot of people who really feel like the southeastern region, by seeing these races go to Chicago and Vegas and California and Las Vegas and wherever else, Phoenix, I feel like they feel like, oh, we're losing ownership of our sport. And the reality is, as we're going to talk about with basketball coming up here in a minute, there really isn't a sport that's our sport anymore.
All right, quick question.
And by us, I mean the South or America.
Quick question. So you are constantly trying to bring fans into what some consider fringe sports. If you were bringing someone to NASCAR for the first time, you taking them to a road race or are you taking them to what they normally do?
First race, I'd take them to a super speedway.
There you
go. Talladega or Daytona.
That's...
But that's the thing. They're, to me...
Because you know they'll be hooked if they go to that, but if they go to a street race, they're not going to be.
I don't disagree. But if that's the way we're judging it, then there's a lot of sports that are about to change. We shouldn't play baseball games. We should have home run derbies because that's also more exciting. We shouldn't have basketball games. We should have dunk contests because that's more exciting.
No, the dunk contest hasn't been good in years.
It has. No. It has. Mm. It's just there's this other mentality of if it ain't the superstars, it can't be good. Yeah, it can't. It's been entertaining. Couldn't for $1 million tell you the name of the guy who won it this year, but I could tell you what he did to win it. Like, it was good. So there is a mix between being as entertaining as possible and also doing what's right for the sport. And for me, stuff like what happened in Chicago is great to get new eyeballs. There was an F1 race yesterday, British Grand Prix. A lot of people paying attention who were in the mood for racing, for street racing, for going through a city. And NASCAR said, we got you. Why don't you check us up next?
Thought we were talking about America.
We are.
Not Britain.
We are. It was the British Grand Prix, but right. It's an international race.
Yeah, I know.
Which America is involved.
Some Britain
international
guy,
means all the...
Britain guy actually won.
All the nations.
I don't know what that was.
Lewis Hamilton, by the way. Stud.
Okay,
stud.
I thought you were. I thought those motions were something to do with, like, you're pretending like you're walking for the flag ceremony.
Hey, speaking of going fast, here's 60 seconds that are going to fly by as Lonzo. I think we're good.
You want me to do it? No, dude, I got it.
Okay,
sports
flash.
What do you mean, do I want
sports
you to
flash.
Do it? Man, go away.
Okay.
The Atlanta Braves took 3 of 3 games against the NL leading Philadelphia Phillies over the weekend. The final matchup featured a gem from, he wrote that, Ronaldo Lopez, who threw 6 innings, allowing only 2 hits and no earned runs as the Braves shut out Philly 6-0. Dylan Lee, Pierce Johnson, and Aaron Bummer combined for the final 3 innings of scoreless pitching. The MLB All-Star teams have been announced. No Atlanta players are in the starting lineup, though. Pitchers Ronaldo Lopez and Chris Sale are both eligible to start on the hill. Marcell Ozuna was elected as the reserve designated hitter as well. The Phillies had the most All-Star selections with 7, while the Dodgers had 6. Make sure you tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for a brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun, and it's all Wire to Wire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm getting to it. Hey, I want to talk more about that Hard Knocks thing, and I will later on in the show, but I want to get here because yesterday, my afternoon co-part and I, Cole Bryson, had a disagreement over NASCAR. I was watching the Chicago race yesterday. Yesterday was a good day to be Rob Brown. I didn't really do anything. We got up late, watched some baseball in the daytime, Braves Phillies, watched some NASCAR in the afternoon, live from Chicago, Illinois, and then last night watched a little more baseball and watched Money in the Bank. Enjoyable Sunday fun day. I got on Twitter, X, last night, and I saw where my afternoon co-part, C-Money Cole Bryson, sent out a tweet discussing the NASCAR street race that took place out in Chicago. He said, and I'm trying to find the exact tweet so I can quote it. Here it is. He put up a short GIF. And it is GIF, not JIF. That will never change. He put up a short GIF of the boys coming through one of the S-turns at Chicago, which is a road course. I set that road course up for you on Friday if you missed it. Effectively, it's two square courses that intersect with an S-turn in the middle. They got a little curvy part over here. Some of the turns are 90 degrees. Some of them are a little more gradual. It's got a number of different turns, a number of different spots. It's got some lefts and some rights. And Cole said, this just doesn't do it for me. Y'all can have these road courses. Thumbs down emoji. And he got a little bit of reaction from it on his Twitter handle. You can follow him at TheColeBryson. What a boring name. Anyway, follow me at The Rob Brown Show.
So there's other Cole Brysons out there?
I mean, there's certainly got to be at least one, right?
He had to throw a V in
just
there?
Just to make sure you know which one you're following.
All right. Because
if you pop on Twitter and you find at a Cole Bryson, that's not him. That's not him. So, JD said, you must not have seen this race yesterday. This is good to get new eyes on the sport. And then JD said to Cole, loser take. Evan said, road courses are cool. Street courses suck. And at Horvath Design said, you must be watching on TV and not at the track. This atmosphere is electric. Which is not what I really wanted him to say. I wanted him to say this atmosphere is and got that one in a minute. He also got a response from Coach Rob Brown.
You played it Friday, dude.
I did not.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't. No, I did not. I don't think I did. I'm not going to lie. I'm questioning everything
you
about my life right now.
You lost an hour today. You don't remember Friday.
I am questioning everything in my life. I'm just sitting here like, and I don't know what to make of it. He also got a reply from one Coach Rob Brown, knower of ball. Trust said, you're lost, dude. I will take one road race before I take 10 boring-ass 1.5-mile cookie cutters. To which Cole responded, yep, nothing like getting up to 65 miles an hour in the heart of NASCAR country, downtown Chicago. And I figured it out. I think I figured it out. I don't think Cole is upset that this was a street race or a road course or whatever you want to call it. I don't think Cole was upset that this race was you know, no, they're not getting the cars up to $1.95. I am pro street race. I am pro road course. Why? Because I think a NASCAR champion should be obligated to prove that they are a driver with versatility, should be able to prove that they are a driver that can drive in multiple conditions, multiple types of tracks, multiple styles of racing. You should have to be a good super speedway racer. You should have to be a good short track racer. You should have to be a good road racer. You should have to be a good mile and a halfer. You should have to be good at everything. You can't be like really, really good at this one thing and then really crappy at everything else and be the champ, right? Now, you could be like really good at three things, real bad at one thing and still be the champ, but you've proven you're the best overall. It's important to me. But I don't think that's Cole's issue. And I could be wrong here, and I look very much forward to listening to Wire with Cole Bryson and Diesel, C-Money and D-Train this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. in case Cole decides to respond to this. And if he likes not to, that's fine. I think Cole is just mad that there aren't NASCAR races happening in the South. I honestly, because there was another spot later on in the race. Now, it was kind of dumb. No, not that kind of dumb. It was very dumb. There were some, what do we call it, activists. There were activists who protested at the race. They climbed inside of the track and then stayed in there for 40 minutes, which part of me was like, run the race anyway. Let them protest. Just run the race anyway. Let them dodge the cars with their fun little signs. Except for, and this was pretty spectacular, they did it while the race was on rain delay. So, like, you didn't do anything, right? But then Cole tweeted out a video of that, and he said, bet they don't have this problem at North Wilkesboro or Darlington, but hey, let's keep going to big cities. And that's the moment I'm like, oh, Cole doesn't dislike the road course. He just dislikes that they're doing it in not small southern racetracks, which I get. That's the roots of NASCAR.
See, I don't think that's what it is. I think NASCAR fans don't like that kind of thing.
What kind of thing? One protest that has happened Vegas and Phoenix.
I'm not talking about the protest. I'm talking about the road race thing.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. The protest thing is going to keep happening, and if they walked on the track, that would. I mean, they're not very smart anyway, but that would not be good. It's like,
oh, it's a real dumb
thing. We see all the videos where they try to block traffic.
Yeah, it doesn't go well.
There's always some guy who's like, nope, and just goes right through the middle of
them. Yep. And while I will tell you that as a soft-hearted liberob, like there are spots where I'm like, I agree with your message, not your actions.
Except there's quite a bit of the time where you have no idea what they're actually doing.
Correct. So, the dudes running out during the golf match the other day, I'm like, y'all are jackasses, dude. Like, even Chuck Barkley knows that you guys... I'm like, yeah, that was it. Don't get me wrong. Get the message. Kind of agree with the message. Not the right way to get people to be on board with you. Am I right, dudes?
Bad look. I'm guessing they can't really do that in a true NASCAR crowd because things would get their asses beat.
Yeah,
things would get ugly.
Yeah, they get their asses beat. But
who's going to beat you up at a golfing event?
Oh, you'd be shocked. I mean, you'd be shocked. Golf's morphing in. It's morphing. I'm watching it slowly morph back into a younger sport again. There's a little underground movement going on, and I have to thank the influencers for that. But the NASCAR thing, like, I want to start with the street race concept because I do know a lot of people are against the street race. You shouldn't be against the street race. You shouldn't. Why? NASCAR, where Lonzo knows this. Let's do a little pop quiz here. Lonzo, where does NASCAR draw its roots back to?
Shiners.
Moonshiners. After shoop up them cars, run that shine away from Johnny Law. You understand?
Daggum revenuers.
Got to get them up out of Hazard County again.
I don't know what that last thing was. That was interesting.
The point here, ultimately, would be if you're running from the 5-0, if you're running from the smoke, if you're running from the fudge, if you're running from Johnny Long, you got a trunk full of shine. Do you just drive in a circle a bunch? No! You get on the streets and you drive until the fuzz can't keep up with your hot rod no more. Like, if we're tracking the origin of NASCAR back to Run and Shine, they ran Shine on the streets or through the woods, but whatever, you get it, right? Like, I think there is room for street racing. I am not sitting here asking that every race be a street race. In fact, if you follow the show for any length of time, you know it's the exact opposite. I am asking NASCAR to be even more varied in the racetracks. Give me a few more street. Give me we have 4 super speed races. 2 at Daytona, 2 at Talladega. Give me 2 more. Make them 6.
Here's what it is. Cole is well known to being a big fan of the Fast and Furious franchise. Seen them all many, many times. Yeah. And so when he sees a street race, he wants to see a real street race.
That's why he drives Mazda Miata that he souped up. It's pretty dope.
Yeah.
Pretty dope. Lime green. Neon pink underneath it and the lights. Pretty sweet. No, honestly,
the sound system is booming though.
I think that there are, I could be wrong. And I invite him to respond to it, whether it's on Wire to Wire or on Twitter, whatever. I'm curious. Does he have an issue with the racetrack, or does he have an issue with the fact that NASCAR is in a northern city that's not a big NASCAR city? Because I'll tell you, from what I understand, the crowd was real good. And remember, the point of this stuff is to spread the good word of NASCAR. That's the point. It is to spread the good word of NASCAR. It is to get people excited about a sport that doesn't really have a gigantic fan base outside of the footprint that it grew up in, the southeastern region of the United States. I want more fans. I want more people invested. I want more people watching, because more watching equals better ratings. Better ratings equals more money. More money means more accessibility. It means more inclusion in the sport. It means a better sport.
I'd be more interested if it was Paul Walker and Vin Diesel.
If it's Paul Walker, we need to figure out what's going on.
I know he did.
He very
still,
did.
But still,
he's been dead for a very minute.
He manages to appear in just about every movie, though. So, I mean, because...
Are they still CGI? I haven't seen the last 3.
They at least mentioned
Have they that. Had another one since he died? Yeah. I know they had the one where, him and Dom did he got off the exit on the interstate scene.
I think they've had, 3 or 4.
Has he been in all of them?
If he isn't in it, they mention him.
I mean, mentioning, I get.
Yeah.
But CGI-ing him in feels a little weird.
His wife is still in it, so, and yet...
Who's his wife?
He's married to Dom's sister in the series.
Really? No, yeah. Oh, you mean his character's
not
wife.
I mean, yeah.
I thought you meant Paul Walker's wife.
No. We're talking about Brian.
I thought you meant she was hey, can you do me a favor? Can you keep computer graphing my dead husband into my movies, please?
No, that would be weird, but...
I agree. That's why it jumped out at me there. All right. So anyway, I read that thought from Cole, and
you haven't seen the ones with John Cena in it?
No, I've not.
No, it's pretty good.
I haven't even seen
the one with Momoa in it, which was the last one.
Didn't see that.
Yeah.
Didn't see that. I don't think I'm trying to think of what the last Fast and the Furious I saw was. I'll have to go back. I don't even remember, to be honest with you. I think I bailed out around, I don't even know.
So when they tan Cena just a little bit to make him Dom's brother?
Stop it.
He's his brother. He's his half-brother. Yeah,
yeah, but they like...
If I recall, he's a little bit more tan than what he normally is, yes.
I think I checked out at Fast 5. And it wasn't really a checkout so much as just I just never came back to
it. Dude, that was 5 or 6 movies ago.
Yeah, I know. I know, it's been a minute. Listen, here's my thing. I think it is more about, and I get it, the feeling if you are a NASCAR fan that's the South's sport, right? Like everybody above the Mason-Dixon in the North, you get hockey and we get NASCAR, right? Like that's your thing. We got our thing. Y'all skate on ice. We drive cars fast in circles. That's our thing. And I feel like there are a lot of people, and I'm using coal as a representation of them, but I feel that there's a lot of people who really feel like the Southeastern region, by seeing these races go to Chicago and Vegas and California and Las Vegas and wherever else, Phoenix, I feel like they feel like, oh, we're losing ownership of our sport. And the reality is, as we're going to talk about with basketball coming up here in a minute, there really isn't a sport that's our sport anymore.
All right, quick
and
question.
And by us, I mean the South or America.
Quick question. So you are constantly trying to bring fans into what some consider fringe sports. If you were bringing someone to NASCAR for the first time, you taking them to a road race, or you taking them to what they normally do?
First race, I'd take them to a super speedway.
There you
Talladega
go.
Talladega or Daytona. But that's the thing. They're, to me,
because you know they'll be hooked if they go to that, but if they go to a street race, they're not going to be.
I don't disagree. But if that's the way we're judging it, then there's a lot of sports that are about to change. We shouldn't play baseball games. We should have home run derbies, because that's also more exciting. We shouldn't have basketball games. We should have dunk contests, because that's more exciting.
No, the dunk contest hasn't been good in years.
It has. No. It has. Mm. It's just there's this other mentality of if it ain't the superstars, it can't be good. Yeah, it can't. It's been entertaining. Couldn't for $1 million tell me to tell you the name of the guy who won it this year, but I could tell you what he did to win it. Like, it was good. So there is a mix between being as entertaining as possible and also doing what's right for the sport. And for me, stuff like what happened in Chicago is great to get new eyeballs. There was an F1 race yesterday, British Grand Prix. A lot of people paying attention who were in the mood for racing, for street racing, for going through a city. And NASCAR said, we got you. Why don't you check us out next?
Thought we were talking about America.
We are.
Not Britain.
We are. It was the British Grand Prix, but right. It's an international race.
Yeah, I know.
Which America's it's involved.
Some Britain
international
guy,
means all the...
Some Britain guy actually won.
All the nations.
I don't know what that was.
Lewis Hamilton, by the way. Oh. Stud.
Okay, I
stud.
Thought you were. I thought those motions were something to do with, like, you're pretending like you're walking for the flag ceremony.
Hey, speaking of going fast, here's 60 seconds that are going to fly by as Lonzo. I think we're good.
We're gonna
you,
see?
Want me to, you want me to do it?
No, dude, I got it.
Okay,
sports
flash.
What do you mean,
flash.
Do I want
sports
you to
flash.
Do it? Man, go away.
Okay.
The Atlanta Braves took 3 of 3 games against the NL leading Philadelphia Phillies over the weekend. The final matchup featured a gem from, he wrote that, Ronaldo Lopez, who threw 6 innings, allowing only 2 hits and no earned runs as the Braves shut out Philly 6-0. Dylan Lee, Pierce Johnson, and Aaron Bummer combined for the final 3 innings of scoreless pitching. The MLB All-Star teams have been announced. No Atlanta players are in the starting lineup, though. Pitchers Ronaldo Lopez and Chris Sale are both eligible to start on the hill. Marcell Ozuna was elected as the reserve designated hitter as well. The Phillies had the most All-Star selections with 7, while the Dodgers had 6. Make sure you tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for a brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun, and it's all Wire to Wire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.